Well, good morning.
Morning.
And I urge you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 13, Paul says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Anytime we experience loss, especially in the midst of our congregation, I always reflect and think about these words. And they are words that are intended in order to give us comfort and in order to give us peace. And with the loss of Bill early Thursday morning, I felt that it would probably be good for us to focus on these verses for our brief moments that we have together this morning. Paul begins in verse 13 and says, "I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren." And he begins to talk about those who are asleep in Christ. He uses that term again in verse 14 and in verse 15 and speaks of those who are dead in Christ in verse 16. Death is a topic that the world desperately seeks to avoid. It is something that we don't want to talk about. It is something that we don't want to think about. It is something that we don't want to dwell on. It scares us. Often in life, it brings us face to face with our mortality, and we don't like those things. Paul addresses the subject head on, and he says this is something that Christians should know. This is something that Christians should think about and should have confidence as they face death. We do not fear as do others. If you look in the book of 1 Thessalonians as a whole, Paul deals with the return of the Lord in every single chapter. In chapter 1, in verses 9 and 10, he speaks about us waiting for the return of the Lord. In chapter 2, in verse 19, he's looking forward to the return of the Lord and the reward that the Thessalonians get to enjoy in the Lord. In chapter 3, in verse 13, he closes the chapter again by speaking of the coming of the Lord. In chapter 4, in verses 13 through 18, in the passage that we just read. And then in chapter 5, 1 through 11, much of that chapter focuses on God's return and being prepared for God's return. We'll look at those verses, specifically the final three, in just a moment. This is a subject that he spends a lot of time on, that he wants the Christians to think about and be prepared for the return of the Lord. And he says in verse 13 that as you consider this subject, and as we consider those who have gone on before us, in verse 13, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Now let me remind us that as we lose someone that we love, whether they are a member of our family, whether they are a member of the congregation that we are at, we do grieve and we do mourn. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives a defense of some false charges that are brought against him. Many people do not like what he says, and they grab him and drag him out in chapter 7. And they stone him to death. And you'll notice again the same language of sleep is used to describe death in Acts 7 in verse 60. Well, in 8 in verse 2, how do we respond to the death of one in the Lord? In 8 in verse 2, some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. They mourn over the loss of Stephen. In the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 9, Luke records for us a story starting in verse 36 about a woman named Tabitha. A woman who was continually doing goods of deed and charity, and she gets sick and she dies. And how do the Christians respond? They mourn and are sorrowful, and in that context, even send Peter to come so that he can raise her from the dead. When we experience death in our midst, we do hurt and we do feel pain. And let me remind us that it should not just be the blood family that experiences pain. We are often called in the New Testament that we are a family in Christ. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Who are my sisters? Those who keep the will of God, who listen to God and His Word. That's my true family. Paul often uses in his epistles language similar to that in nature, calling us a family. And so we grieve because we lost a brother or we lost a sister in the Lord. We have all experienced loss. And perhaps it is felt much more intensely by the blood family. But all of us have lost a brother or sister in the Lord. We have lost someone to encourage us and to strengthen us in God. Let's go back to these two examples in the book of Acts. As we consider Stephen and his death in Acts 8 and verse 2 and the sorrow that that caused, how is Stephen described in Acts chapter 6 in verses 3 through 5? Well, as these men are chosen, seven men are chosen for the task of being a deacon, they are all supposed to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And in 6 and verse 5, Stephen is described as a man who is full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. In 6 in verse 8, with echoes of the way that Jesus is described, Stephen is described as a man of full of grace and power. He is a man who stands up for the truth. He is a man who is able to defend the truth. Wow, how sad to lose a brother like that. We mourn. In Acts chapter 9, how is it that Tabitha is described? In 9 and verse 36, this woman abounds with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And Peter has a hard time getting to her in the upper room, her body in the upper room when he comes, because all of the widows are standing around him and sharing stories and garments about all that she did to serve them. It hurts. It hurts to lose a woman who is so devoted to servitude. And so we do mourn. And we do grieve. But we are separate from the world in the fact that we do not grieve without hope. In the face of death, it is only the Christian who has hope beyond the grave. All of life's pursuits seem meaningless and empty and hollow in the light of the grave. It doesn't matter how much money that you have made. It doesn't matter what other people think of you. It doesn't matter all that you've accomplished. It doesn't matter the titles you held or the degrees that you earned. All of that seems really empty when we die. And the world grieves at that because all of the hopes and the efforts and all of the strivings are nothing because of death. But we grieve as one who has hope. Amen. We grieve because we miss our brother. We miss our sister. We hate that we've lost someone. But it's just temporary. We grieve and we miss them with confidence that the best is yet to come. And we look forward to the future because we do not have to fear death because Jesus has overcome. We grieve with hope because Jesus has given meaning to life, life on this earth, to our death, and to our purpose for eternity. I have been to more funerals than I can count. And I remember one time in particular going to a funeral of a woman. I think she was 102, and you hate to get this wrong. She might have been 103, but I think she was 102. She was a godly woman who sought and strove after God her whole life, who always wanted to know more about God, and who always had a hunger and thirst for God. I remember going to the funeral and talking to her family. I remember her son saying, "I'm having a hard time being really sad right now. Because Mom lived a great life. She lived a long time. And yes, I miss her. And yes, I'm going to miss calling her every day. And yes, I'm going to miss stopping by. And yes, I'm going to miss her wisdom. But it's hard to mourn too much when the righteous go home. We grieve, but we grieve with hope, and we grieve with expectation. And I always hoped, as I went to one funeral after the other, that eventually I would get old enough and experienced enough to know the perfect thing to say to somebody in pain. I'm still waiting on that, by the way. And I'm still waiting for those of you who are older and wiser and more experienced. I know many of you are as well. And yet, what does Paul tell us to focus on in times like this? He says in verse 13, we don't grieve like the world grieves. We grieve with hope. So what should we focus on, verse 14? Focus on the fundamental beliefs of the faith. We don't have to get really complicated in our theology. We don't have to really dig deep. He says in verse 14, if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Paul says, focus on the resurrection. Our faith is based not on opinion, not on fairy tales, not on good feelings. Our faith is based on the historical fact of the resurrection. And so when you are in moments of loss, when you are in moments of hurt, when you are in moments of pain, when it just seems overwhelming and the grief comes crashing down, focus on the future and focus on the fact that Jesus Christ arose and that we will raise from our grave. And so he begins to go on to describe some of these events in verse 15 through 17. Notice in verse 14, we have confidence that those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will be reunited with him. And he kind of goes on to describe that in verses 15 through 17. That at the coming of the Lord, that those who have fallen asleep will first be raised and will meet the Lord in the air, and then those who are alive will follow and meet them and then meet the Lord in the air. And in verse 17, we will always be with the Lord. And I want you to notice in verse 15, notice verse 15 carefully. He says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. And then he goes on to describe the events of verses 15 through 17. Focus on the resurrection. Focus on the truth presented in God's word. As we experience pain and as we experience hurt, focus on the simple truths that the gospel brings. Because the gospel's purpose has great help in this life and in the life to come. Because what the gospel does in verse 18 is it gives us comfort. And all of us, no matter how strong our faith, no matter how strong our confidence, all of us need comfort in the midst of losing people that we love. And notice Paul picks up on this again in chapter 5, in verse 9 through 11. He says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. He said, I want you to encourage one another with these words. Remember, just a moment ago, I said when we lose someone, we've lost a brother and sister who serves as an example, who can encourage us, who can motivate us. Well, there's more work to do than motivating and encouraging the group. And it falls to us to comfort, to encourage, to surround each other, to lift one another up. And this is something that the Thessalonian brethren were apparently really good at. You look back just one example, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it emphasizes that you love one another, you care about one another, you have shown your love repeatedly for each other, and he tells them to excel still more in verse 10. They were good at this, and yet they still needed a reminder that as we experience loss, as we experience pain, make sure that you're encouraging, that you're lifting one another up, that you're helping each other through this painful experience. It is the truth. And our focus on the simple gospel truth that helps us to endure difficult times. And so it really comes down to in verse 18 and in verses 5 through 11. And am I here to comfort? Are you here to comfort? And again, certain people might feel the pain of a certain loss more than others. But are we here for each other? To build each other up and to comfort each other? Because this is one of the many fundamental reasons that God wants us to come together and to be a community. To build one another up, to remind each other of these truths, to encourage and strengthen one another in the simple truths of the gospel. Through the years, I have been asked a lot of questions about death. What will the judgment be like? What is the order of events that will unfold? After death, do we go straight to heaven and are judged, or is there a waiting place? What will heaven be like? How literally are we to take the descriptions of Revelation 21 and 22? These and a lot others are questions that people have asked, and to some degree I understand and have thought about them myself, and on a few occasions have looked to certain biblical passages to see if and what is revealed by God. And to some degree, in verses 15 through 17, there's a little bit of an explanation given in verses 15 through 17 of some of the order of events that we can expect in the final day. But you know, it's interesting when you read verses 13 through 18. Paul doesn't say, let me comfort you, so I'm going to give you a really kind of a detailed roadmap that you can know exactly what's going to happen. He comforts them with the resurrection, with the word of the Lord, and with a reminder that you're going to be with the Lord. And that's what should comfort you the most. So in verse 14, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. In verse 15, let's go to the word of the Lord. What does God say about this? Then he speaks of the coming of the Lord, and he says in verses 15 through 16, be assured the Lord is coming back. And that's a good thing. Take comfort in that. Because when the Lord comes back, that's when the resurrection will take place in verse 16. The dead in Christ will rise. Death will be defeated, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then in verse 17, those who are alive will be caught up together with the dead who have been raised. And in verse 17, we will meet the Lord in the air. How comforting is that? To think about all of the pain and the sorrow and the hurts of this life, and to look forward to getting to meet the Lord. And this will not be like a passing meeting with a celebrity where you get to say, I met that celebrity. He was they were walking by, and I kind of waved at them, and out of the corner of my eye, they threw a wave back. No. This is going to be an enduring relationship. In verse 17, he says, so we will always be with the Lord. There will come a day, brethren, when there is no more need for grieving or sorrow or pain or hurt, because we will be with the Lord and He will wipe away all of our tears. Amen. And so He tells us, take comfort in the fact that whether you die or whether you're alive with the Lord's return, your future is with the Lord. I don't know what the future holds in this life. And the future scares a lot of people. And I understand that. Having children. But I tell you, for the Christian, I look forward to the future. Not the future of this earth. I don't know what it holds. But in a lot of ways, I really don't care. Because my future doesn't lie here. My future doesn't lie on earth. My future doesn't lie in the United States of America. My future lies with the Lord and with eternity with the Lord.
Amen.
And it comforts my heart to know that whatever might await my children in this life, if they are faithful to the Lord, what awaits them ultimately is the eternity and the comfort and the protection and the security of the Lord. And so what most comforts our hearts? Oh, the world gives us so many reasons to be fearful. The Lord gives us so many reasons to comfort, to be confident, and to look forward to the future. And I pray that these words are a comfort to you. Lord, we are so weak and we are so feeble. We make so many mistakes and faults. We often do not respond the way that we should. But Lord, we ask that you help us. That you help us to show ourselves separate from the world. That we grieve with hope. That we look forward to the future. That we rejoice in your presence. Lord, we hurt right now. We hurt because we've lost a brother. And Lord, we know that many in the audience, perhaps all in the audience, have lost someone dear to them, that they feel the sorrow and the hurt and the pain of that every day. Comfort their hearts. Help us to look forward to being with you. Hold us close, O Lord. Help us to keep eternity ever in our sights. You ever in our minds. And to give us the strength to continue to strive and push forward. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.